307 is the invitation song. If you're following along in your hymn books, 307, Are You Washing the Blood? I didn't mistake what Ron had given me. So. He's going to go with it unless something else pops up on the PowerPoint. It's good to see everybody out. It's always wonderful and encouraging to be able to come out and study God's Word as we have the opportunity to do so. It's always encouraging to be with brethren and sister in Christ. Yeah, just be able to take time away from being in the world and to being away and facing the trials and temptations that Satan continuously puts out there for each of us, to be able to gather with those who are also striving to put God first and striving to shine their light, be an example, and are here to help and encourage us one another to continue to fight that good fight. With everything going on, as I have done for a lesson here and a lesson there lately, since the COVID-19 going on, of course, last week getting on into some of the other things that have been going on, some lessons are easily brought up just with being able to watch what's going on in the world and what's going on with the government, what's going on TV. And so I was encouraged and asked to do another lesson, and so that's what I have done this morning, is going to be talking about the government, talking about God, government, and you. Now, I don't plan on being up here and saying you need to vote for a certain person. I'm not going to be up here pinpointing and directing to a certain topic, and of course throughout the lesson your mind can go towards any of that, but there's a certain way in which we as Christians should react and should treat and should follow according to scriptures, according to what God has given us, and how we should live our lives with the government. And so I want to do that. I want to open up our Bibles and look at those points, and I hope that you will follow along and see the truth and see what God's Word has to say, and of course apply that to your faith, apply that to your mindset, if you see it to be true according to the scriptures. And so I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow. And we're going to be starting, if you will, in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, but my first point that I want to bring out is that government is from God. That we need to understand that the Bible points to that. That it strictly tells us that government, authority figures, is given to us by God. We need to understand that. That is an important point to have in our minds when we go forward and consider how we react to anywhere from those the most in charge of president or kings or getting into state and government or getting into your local mayor or police officers. It does not matter which order you go down, that we understand government is from God. That's what we read here in Romans 13 and verse 1. Romans 13 and verse 1, and I'm focusing on one point of this verse first, and then we'll come back to it and talk about our part later on. But it starts off, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. We have to understand what this verse says is that these are appointed by God. God has allowed it. Now, understand what it's not saying. It is not saying that God is okay with every government decision that is made. God is not okay with the, you know, government okaying wrongful decisions or things that might be racist, things that go about slaughtering unborn children and the decisions. When it goes against the Word of God, God is not okay with that. But the basis of authority, the basis of government is authorized by God, given to us by God. Again, in verse 3, the first part of verse 3, for rulers are not terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid? So, as again, what God has given to us for a reason. They're there to judge and to rule over those who do wrong, is why God has established. We need to understand. In John chapter 19, verse 11, we see the very example as Jesus is submitting to human authority as he lived his life upon this earth. That he understood his submitting and understood the authority that Pilate did have, granted by God. Here in John 19 and in verse 11. In verse 10, actually, verse 10 says, Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin." And so, again, no authority can be given unless it was given from above. We can go back and study the Old Testament. We go back and study the children of Israel, that there wasn't technically a ruling system of government, but prophets that God would send to children of Israel. And as Moses, of course, led, then he started setting up a little bit of judge system, that there was those who were over 50s and 10s and 100s, and Moses would judge the highest problems, the biggest problems that they couldn't take care of. And eventually, the people asked for a king. God said, "Okay, you deny me, not the prophets." That's who you're denying. Because when it comes down to it, that's who we are submitting to. We are submitting to God over anyone, over all. God is above all. But God has authorized government. He's authorized the authorities above. We need to know that. We need to understand that. Then as Israel asked for a king, there were more. Said they will tax you. They will take your children for their army, for the military, for the policing, and they're going to do all these things, and they'll be sacrificed for these reasons, and you have to submit to them. This is what you've asked for. We need to understand it does come from God. Again, we need to understand government is to be following God as they make decisions. God is not okay with everything that they decide. And when it comes down to it, when it comes to the end of time, that if they are wrongfully ruling over the people, and they are wrongfully judging the people, then they're going to have to face the consequences between them and God. Just like each and every one of us are going to have to face the consequences of our decisions and of our actions, they don't get any extra credit just because they're higher up as they live their life upon this earth. They will face judgment also. But we need to see that they should be bowing down to God and looking to them as they make decisions. In Psalm 148, the 148th Psalm, if you turn along with me there. Psalm 148, and looking at verse 11, starting in verse 11. Psalm 148, starting in verse 11, says, "Kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel." Near. So what verse 11? Verse 11. Kings of the earth and all people. Princes and judges of the earth. Kings, princes, judges are to do what? To praise God. To put God first in their lives. Once they become God, a mayor, governor, president, they are still in submission to God. They should still look to God as they are considering decisions they make. That is what they should be doing. they are still creations, a creation of God. They are still made in the image of God. Therefore, they should still submit to God. We need to know that. We need to understand that. Again, this should all come into mind as we make decisions of whether or not to follow government, and decisions of how we should, you know, talk about the government, and decisions of praying for them. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, and in verse 1. Turn along with me there. As we consider masters, and it's more talking about a master, someone who owns slaves here. But as we take this application and we look at it, it is still the same point of anyone who's with authority, anyone who is higher and has people under them, and how we treat one another. Whether it's the workforce, and you work at Walmart, you have the manager, you have the CEO, you go down the line. And how masters are treat those who are working under them, and those who work under them, how they treat their master, and how they are obedient to those in charge. So we talk about government, and it's the same application, same points. And so Colossians chapter 4, and in verse 1, it says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So once again, above us all is God. Doesn't matter how high up, doesn't matter if you own your own business, it doesn't matter where you are. If we eventually are able to have elders, again, elders, yes, they rule over the congregation, but they are still to submit to God. So as they make decisions, that's what's on mind at all times, is that they are following God. They are following in the footsteps of Christ. So we have to keep that in our minds at all times. So the question comes up, well, what do you do? What do you do in situations when government makes decisions that you don't doubt in your mind is wrong? What do you do? Once again, we can open up our Bibles and find the answer. Right? We can find the answer in the Bible. So often we want to take it into our own hands and find out, understand the examples we have in the Word of God. Unless it is telling us not to worship God, unless it is to make you sin, we're to be submitting to God. We are to do what they tell us to do. We turn to Romans chapter 13. Go ahead and turn back there with me. We're going to be reading the rest of the verses here. Romans 13, and in verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Understand the consequences if we do not. We face God in our actions. Picking up in verse 4. It says, "For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he who does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear whom fear, honor to whom honor." So we can sit here and say, well, I don't think they deserve the honor. But if they're still in that manner of authority, in that position, we have to acknowledge that. It says it right here in the Word of God. Plain as day. It does not say, except for when you disagree. say that certain things that they choose to do are wrong. We have to follow what God has told us to do. Because that's ultimately who we're going to face in judgment. And as it brings out here in these scriptures, you don't want to face the wrath, you don't want to be afraid, then don't do evil. Again, simplest point, you don't have to fear if you've truly done nothing wrong. That if you do as they tell you to do, you usually don't have to fear. Again, I know I'm not sitting here saying everyone is good that is in charge. But we follow the rules, and we'll be okay. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 13. It says, therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Again, telling us this. Again, we can be so thankful where we live in this country. Because even when there are those who break the rules, as we might say, there is a system of which, once again, you follow the law, in which you can file the complaints and you can get a lawyer and have a lawsuit and bring it to attention. But you have to do it in the proper manner. You have to follow the law. You have to be subject. Because that's what we see in the Word of God. That is what it tells us to do. What can we do? We can do it in which the way our system has been provided for us. We can pray for our governing authorities. We can pray to God for justice to be served. But when it comes down to it, the only times that we to resist God is if they tell us to deny God. They tell us not to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. They tell us not to worship our God. Because that's the only time we see it throughout the Word of God. It's the only time. If they start telling us to bow down to them, to men, to idols, then there comes to a time, and again, even then, they are going to throw us in prison for it, then you go to prison for it. That's what we see through the Word of God. That's what we see Jesus himself does. The apostles themselves had done. Acts chapter 4 and verse 19. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 19. Acts 4 and verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Because they're bringing out and they're told, do not preach about Jesus' resurrection anymore and that he is the Son of God. This is the first time that they were taken in. And as they're about to release him, what were their reply? They said, whether it's right to obey men or God. Again, when they are arrested again in chapter 5. Again in chapter 5 and verse 27. And in verse 27 it says, and when they had brought them, they sent them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But when they were taken, they did not resist. When they were taken, they did not fight back. They were still submitted, other than when it comes to denying our faith. Jesus made it plain and clear that he who denies me before me, before men, will be denied to the Father above. We are to never deny our Lord and Savior. We are to never deny our Father above. We are to continue to keep our faith and put him first in all things. We must obey. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, and in verse 10. Galatians 1 verse 10, as we read here, says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Whose approval do you desire to have? Men or God?" God should always come first. And so we have our part submitted. Again, we're in a blessed place, a blessed country, to be able to have the right to vote for who rules over us. And so these are the things that should be in our mind as we do vote. Again, I'm not going to sit up here and say names. I'm not going to say sides. But it is something you should consider, because oftentimes we get caught up when it comes to election and focus on, well, what's best for me money-wise? What's best for me, you know, getting free college and free this and free that, and what's going to, you know, forgive this, forgive that, this person. But then we ignore any scriptural things about the person that we're thinking about electing into government. So we have that opportunity. And since we have that opportunity, we should be thinking as Christians and not just upon our physical human side, the nature of the money and wealth and debt. But consider, you know, is this person going to enforce us to be allowing people to you know, enforcing us to have homosexuality weddings in our church? Are they going to force us to not preach against abortion? Are they going to force you against these things? That is should be our mindset and how we should vote. And again, you can get caught up in anyone, either side, but there's people on both sides that are going to have things that are wrong. When it comes down to it, we have to remember that we're in subjection to God. And God tells us to submit to the government, unless they're telling us to deny him. I hope that I've helped you. I hope that you understand the Word of God. Again, I'd be more than happy to study it further with you if you desire. If you want to set aside, because I'm not going to do it up here in the pulpit to sit here and talk politics. I'm not going to stand up here in the pulpit and preach about the exact situations. If that's something you desire to discuss, I'll be willing to step aside into this classroom and discuss that with you. When it comes down to it, we have to obey God. No matter what the situation, we must put him first. And so we extend the Lord's invitation this morning to any who have not submitted themselves to God yet, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and asked for his forgiveness and allowed his blood to wash their sins away. We encourage you to do that this morning. Have your sins washed away. To submit to God and to become a child of God, a disciple of Christ. If you're here and you need to pray to the congregation to help you continue to fight the good fight, or if there's anything else that we can do for you, please let it be known as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing prayer? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood? Soul cleansing blood of the those